Tremaine Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack by score! Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Jones coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies, just like I usually am. I don't always know when to jump in for our new intros, so I am still getting used to that here. Either way, thank you for joining us. And yeah, Carlos, we are going live tonight on Tuesday to talk about the Rowdies. This is what we would usually do, but we haven't recently because of the timing of different interviews, whatever we have lined up. That is not the case tonight. So we just get to talk about the Rowdies as we usually have been. Carlos, let's start with our usual pleasantries as well. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm well. I'm well. No fun interviews to report today other than my interview with James and James' interview with me here on the pod. It is lovely on this Tuesday evening here in Arlington, Virginia. The weather's nice. Ecuador plays in exactly 50 minutes against Chile. A win down there, I believe, mathematically qualifies us to the World Cup 26 with four games to go, which is really, really great, taking into consideration the fact that we started the qualifiers with negative 3 points. The boys are buzzing. The boys are absolutely buzzing. What else is going on, James? I mean, the Rowdies had a game this weekend that we'll talk about. The Rowdies don't have a game this upcoming weekend. For whatever reason, we decided we need a bye week just 3 weeks into the season. We'll take it, I guess. I mean, in the middle of this long road trip, I guess an extra week of rest can't hurt. Either way, I have a mustache now. It was an accident. I was telling James and Eureka, always lurking in the background of this production, off screen. I was telling them that I messed up trimming my beard and I ended up with this after having to reset. So if you're not listening to this, on YouTube, getting the full video, you're missing the glory of my, Pablo Escobar mustache on screen now. Shout out, you know what happened, James, yesterday was I was working from home and I put on some music in the background on the TV. I came across some, like, you know, classic Hispanic music that I listen to, some reggaeton, Raul Alejandro props up. I'm like, that guy has some swag, and they need to touch on my beard like him. I tried doing it, and I messed it up. So we got a mustache now, and we'll see how that goes. I might get rid of it by tonight. I don't know. In the meantime, my coworkers got mixed. I got mixed reviews from my coworkers. My mom and my girlfriend both said to get rid of it. So I don't know where we're going with this. James, before I keep talking about my mustache and before we talk about the Tampa Bay Rowdies, my favorite soccer team in the world, and probably yours too, if you're listening to this, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Also, I do not have a mustache, although I will say that my wife has in the past, hated when I had one. So I guess we share that boat, in the mustache world. Sure. Ungrateful partners, let's say. I am here on a Tuesday night to talk about the Rowdies. So honestly, what else is there to complain about? We're still doing RBLR Rowdies hype, and Carlos, we actually get to be a little bit more hyped this week. Yeah. I think that there is some good news to talk about, and we have a little bit of time because we're not doing a preview this week. We have a little bit of time to actually branch out and talk about, I guess, the way the Rowdies are doing even this early on. It's not that there's a ton of data to go by, but there is a bunch of stuff that we want to hit on because we haven't actually had a ton of time to do that with the interviews that we've had the last couple of weeks. So, Carlos, we're going to expand upon everything that we haven't had the chance to do so this far into the season. Either way, let's start with this past week's game. It was actually a good one. The Rowdies finally put a W on the board against the Miami FC. 2-1 win away from home. Not that bad. Could have been better, as Carlos and I probably were expecting, but regardless, Charleston is next up, but that is not this weekend, as we know. So please expect us to talk about this game, talk about the two prior games, and we will save Charleston for next week, hopefully with another interview on the way. Also, of course, we would like you to like and subscribe to us on YouTube. Yep. Please subscribe on any major podcast you listen to those. Please follow RBLR Sports on social media, including Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, and all the other ones that I'm forgetting that Eureka probably has accounts for over there as well. All right, Carlos, let's hop into the quick recap. I'll let you get us going with the starting 11.
Thank you for that privilege, James. It's always my pleasure to dive into the quick recap of your Tampa Bay Rowdies this past weekend, who faced off against the Miami FC with a 2-1 result. You had Ken Pesce in net, who had a game. You had Nick Moon, Wyke, and Castellanos, as well as Blake Bodley, making up this sometimes four-back, sometimes three-back situation, depending on the time of the game. James, I'll get your thoughts on this later on. It's the tactical mind of us here. There's a bit of movement happening back there. Ahead of them, you had Hilton, McPherson, and Crisostomo. And up top, you had Woobs, Facius, and, of course, Manu Arteaga, making up your attacking two in this game. By the way, Andrew Mustali still not on the bench in this one. And another note here, you'll notice that Aaron Guillen did not get the start for the first time in quite a long time. Quite curious about what happened there. Didn't look like he had any sort of injury based on the fact that he came on later in this game, spoiler alert, and helped close out this one. Just interesting note there. I wish I had a chance to ask someone on the team about how or why that played out that way, but we'll get into that later on as well. Guillen on the bench. Of course, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention Ollie Bassett also joining the attack. Despite a awful start, you can put it that way, less than 2 minutes in, Bonfiglio scored another silly goal.
Yes.
Against the Rowdies. This one was interesting. I will dive into the analysis in here just a bit, but it was just kind of a blunder. Rowdies lost possession in their own half. Kind of a chip pass finds its way to Bonfiglio, who finds himself wide open behind Lawrence Wyke, who misses a header, and ahead of Nico Campisi, who kind of finds himself in no man's land coming out of the box just a little bit too late. Chips him with ease. It's a nice finish. 1-0 to the Miami FC in a start that I could not have predicted happening. They got off to a quick start, 1-0, just 2 minutes in. The Rowdies eventually took the lead before halftime, though. They would score in the 31st minute with a Passius goal off a beautiful pass from Nick Moon. And then right before halftime in the 47th minute, second minute of stoppage time, of course, Crisostomo gets his first goal of the season off a lovely little difficult finish, by the way. Kind of a half volley, barely makes contact with it, but just makes enough contact to finesse it past the keeper in this one. Lewis Hilton served in a lovely little ball into the mixer where there was three or four Rowdies players around. Crisostomo draws the lucky hand and puts that one away to put the Rowdies up 2-1 before halftime. And that would be all the goals in this one, James. Red card to Miami FC would come in later in the game on the back end in the 93rd minute off of a flop that Arteaga very much sold and did so quite well, if I may add. Bit of acting. Of course, as it goes, us Latin American soccer players seem to have an edge for the acting world when it comes to soccer. Manu Arteaga certainly was able to sell it just a little bit and get that red card against Miami. And we close it out. I will mention that I missed the missed penalty as well that Miami FC had in the 69th minute. A quite nice miss on Miami FC's end. Campisi did not even have to make a save. I will credit him because he kind of he played some Argentinian mind games very much. Oh my goodness, what's the Argentina starter's name, James?
Martinez.
Yeah, very much Dibu Martinez-esque in how he was able to play some mind games with the Miami FC taker, who was Bonfiglio. Delayed the kick a lot, was able to just kind of walk around and pace around the net quite a bit, make some random conversation with the referee in his limited English, and was able to I think was able to affect the penalty taker a bit. I won't give him all the credit, but I will give him some credit for the mind games that happened there. Rowdies would go on to win this one 2-1. Some subs would come in this one. We'll dive into that a little bit as well, because I'm kind of curious on your take on the substitutions in this one, James. Rowdies win this one 2-1 in a game that I think was a bit closer than it should have been based on the chances we had and the chances even that we didn't create, maybe deserve to create, or maybe should have been able to create a bit more. Rowdies win 2-1, get their first 3 points of the season, James. I'm thrilled. I'll save my thoughts on the game and early season as a whole for just a little bit from now. I'll give you a quick standings update. 3 games into the season, it's Detroit City FC and Louisville City FC tied for first place up top with 7 points. The only two undefeated teams left. Sorry, Indy 11 also undefeated. They have another draw in there. They haven't played their third game of the season yet. But Detroit City and Louisville City are tied for first place with 7 points. Loudoun United somehow in third place with 6 points. You make your way down from there. It doesn't really matter this early on in the season, but the Rowdies are in 8th place, 3 points into the season. Lovely. It's good to get our first win off of our back. San Antonio is perfect out west, by the way. 3 wins in 3 games, 9 points, of course. They had a really, really interesting game out in Oakland this weekend, James. And I stayed up late to watch this one a bit as well after the Rowdies game. San Antonio goes out to Oakland, who's playing their first game in the Coliseum, their home opener this week. 26,000 plus people on hand.
It looked really great.
Yeah, it looked great. Basically, the entire lower bowl was sold out with the exception of, you know, the upper bowl. But they put a cap on the ticket sales in this one, and it was the lower bowls, 26,000 plus. Really, really cool to see. It's great for USL. It's great to break into that FC Cincinnati dominated field of USL attendance records. Oakland did not necessarily break the attendance record, but they did, I guess, get the active club's regular season attendance record. If you want to put an asterisk on that record. But nonetheless, 26,000 people in Oakland, great stuff. Good for them. I'm happy. It's great for the league. I'm sure it's pushing their agenda to get them in USL Division I, whatever that will look like in however many years. But I'm happy. I'm happy with the city of Oakland, James, as a whole. They've been done quite dirty in the sports world. When, you know, first it was the Warriors moving across the bay.
Yeah.
Was the A's moving to wherever the hell they're going to move, eventually Las Vegas. So I'm glad they have a team to support. I'm glad it's a USL team. I'm glad they're taking advantage of the lack of a sports team right now in Oakland. And I'm happy with them. I'm glad they're becoming Oakland's team. It's fortunate they didn't get the win early on, but I will say my San Antonio prediction of them being a team to watch this year is coming to fruition. 3 wins, 3 games, nothing to scoff at, even if it is this early on in the season. I'll give you a couple other a couple other fixture results I thought were interesting this week. Sacramento Republic FC and Colorado Springs played a really, really fascinating matchup of two top teams out west. Sacramento would tie this one 2-2 after a Colorado Springs penalty in the 97th minute. Dylan got the double penalty. Double. What's the word? There's a word in English. I keep thinking of doblete in Espanol. There's a word in English for two goals. A brace. That's the word. Dylan gets the penalty brace with two penalties in the 86th minute and the 97th minute to tie it up after being down 2-0. Again, San Antonio beat Oakland in this one. Monterey Bay has a pretty good result out in Orange County, winning 3-0. Rowdies obviously went 2-1. I thought Lexington and Indy was an interesting result. Lexington is proving to be a maybe better team than I thought they would be this early on in their time in the championship.
Certainly the case for me. I will out myself there with Lexington as one of the early doubters.
Yeah, I would put myself in that boat as well. An early doubter for sure. I don't think they're still good per se. I might make my way over out there for an away game this summer. Looks like it could be a cool area, cool new stadium. But yeah, certainly defying my early season expectations. Again, just 3 games in, there's still plenty of questions to be asked. Louisville City gave Loudoun their first loss of the year with a 2-0 win at home against Loudoun. And Detroit City and Birmingham tied 2-2, giving Detroit their first non-win of the season. So interesting results all around the league. Always encourage folks to watch the USL as a whole. So many good games, good atmospheres around the league. Miami FC is not one of them, unfortunately. I hope it does become so in the near future in Homestead if they actually make that move. But James, with that being said, with my rambling out of the way, let's dive into this atmosphere-less game down in Miami. I'm curious. I don't know what the official attendance was in this one. I couldn't really find a number. I'm sure I could look if I looked, or could find it if I looked a little bit harder, but I'm lazy and I'm tired. I just had a long 9 to 5 and then a happy hour at work. So I'm a little drained, but I have enough energy to talk about the Rowdies. And I don't frankly care about the Miami FC attendance. I'll tell you this though. It did not look like more than 1,000 people. I'm sure they'll say it was more than 1,000 people. It was dead. I mean, the atmosphere was literally the 20 or so Rowdies fans in the stadium, but I digress. James, I've rambled for long enough. I've told you about what happened in this game. Told you about the rest of the league. Tell me, how did you see this game going? And did this game live up to your expectations for how the Rowdies would play?
Well, I will just go back, scroll up a little bit on our doc and say that the prediction that I had, and this was not just RBL or Rowdies hype. I legitimately did think this. I hope that nobody gets it twisted there. I predicted a 3-0 win for the Rowdies. Eureka predicted a 3-1 win, and you, Carlos, went with a 4-0 win, although I think your arm was a little bit twisted into that. So
I thought it was a reasonable prediction still. Like, usually 4-0 seems like out there. In a game like this, I still did think it was reasonable. I stand by that. I still do think it was a reasonable result.
Yes. So to answer your last question first, no, that did not live up to my expectations. But at the same time, I think that obviously getting a win and getting our first 3 points is extremely important because we have just played two games that I think a lot of Rowdies fans would have expected both to turn into wins, as hard as it is to go to either Las Vegas or Tulsa this year. You know, we're going to see exactly what those teams are made of. Yeah. The more we go along, Tulsa is actually looking pretty good so far. Las Vegas, maybe not as much as last year. That's neither here nor there. We'll get into that later on. The point is, I guess that this is where progress needs to be made, obviously, and progress was made. So thumbs up there, right? Thumbs up there. The Rowdies do not always go out in a 3-4-3. We have just found out this past weekend. And I found myself a little bit at a loss for how to describe the formation here because it felt like four at the back. But I don't know if it was a 4-3-3. I don't know if it was a 4-2-2-2 or something different because Cammy McPherson was almost given a role that he could go anywhere up and down the right side of a midfield position. So we never saw him as a center back or as a right fullback. Nick Moon, by the way, was starting at right back. He had just come back from an injury, I guess, for his first allowable minutes here, filling in for Pacific Nyangabire, who was away on international duty representing Burundi. It should be noted, unfortunately, today was Burundi's second game, and he did not make an appearance in either of those ones. So I think he went over there originally as an injury replacement, but regardless, he did not get to play in Burundi's two games.
Still cool that we have Rowdies abroad, though, by the way.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Congrats to him. That's still a huge accomplishment. I do wish he got minutes. That would have been nice to see.
Yeah, I'm the same there. And Carlos, you and I both share a deep love for the international games. So we're always happy to see Rowdies players involved in the international windows. But just the same thing. We hope that Nyangabire gets a little bit more playing time for Burundi in the future. Regardless, Nick Moon stepped in as the right back, actually a right back, not a right wing back. And we had at the center back, yeah, it was Lawrence Wyke, who I guess it has played more as a defender in a back three, I think. I don't remember having seen him play frequently as a defender in an actual back four, so that's interesting. And then Robert Castellanos, who was used to playing in multiple positions as a true center back, so no problem there. Blake Bodley played the same Blake Bodley role that we're all used to. He was a left back. He got forward a lot. That's to be expected. Lewis Hilton, though, someone who started the first two games on the bench, gets onto the field. That's very interesting as well. We thought that Cammy McPherson, I guess, had earned the starting position as the defensive midfielder, but as I said, Cammy McPherson was playing a different role where I had in my notes while I was watching this one that there were times when the only person who was higher than Cammy McPherson on the field was was Manuel Arteaga. And it was Rubens Pasias who was deeper on the right as like a literal winger. And I don't know how frequently Rubens Pasias has actually played as a winger. I don't know if Wubs the winger is something that many people are aware of, but he did play there. And yeah. Cammy McPherson had this very open role for himself where he could get up and down and really anywhere he felt that it was convenient to go to, I think in this case, provide pressure on Miami's back line when they have the ball. That was really the main thing I saw was when we were out of possession, we wanted to win it back. Cammy McPherson is generally a defensive midfielder, take advantage of his defensive acumen and let him go and chase people down and see if he can win it back in a good position. It didn't really work out to us creating any goals. And I don't, Carlos, I'll get to you in a second on this one. I don't know how much I felt Cammy McPherson helped us in that role, I guess is the way that I want to phrase that. But either way, still made a lot of progress. And I think that, of course, Danny Crisostomo continued his very good start. Nick Moon looked brilliant for me. For a while, I was like, why was he even substituted? Luckily today, our producer Eureka was there to tell me, hey, you can calm down now. He was on a minute's restriction because he's coming back from an injury. So even though it's RBLR Rowdy's hype, folks, yes, I do have to calm down at times. And I'm thinking that there were still a lot of positives to be taken from this. Of course, Rubens Pasias getting his first goal. We all love that. That's very good. And Danny Crisostomo contorting his body to get into the position where he could put that on net. Very positive. Carlos, we're going to get to one of the bigger questions about this game in a little bit. But first, I want to start with your positives as well.
My positives are that we got on the score sheet, particularly that our striker, Rubens Pasias, who... not that there have been questions around, but I think just the Rowdies fan, you know, questioning how a Cal Jennings ended up a Charleston Battery after the year he had.
Yeah.
Not that they would have been, you know, questioning Rubens Pasias' ability to fill that role. Not that they would have been questioning Rubens Pasias' ability, but his ability to replace the goal scoring numbers that Cal Jennings had or stop. Like, I think it's just good early on to get him his first goal, let him settle in. Manuel Arteaga is proven on the squad. We know he's going to get the goals going soon. I was really happy for Whoops to get his first goal and an incredible finish, by the way. An incredible, incredible play, incredible pass from Nick Moon to sneak that in behind the line. And then the really, really difficult finish for Whoops that won't get appreciated enough. It's a nice goal. It's never going to make like your goal of the week situation, but like it should because of how difficult it was. I mean, this is a guy who's battling off a massive defender off of him. Woobs is really quick, but he's also built. I mean, he's a big guy. Able to battle off defender and then at the same time, basically take a shot with his back towards the goal. Woobs was facing away from the net. And he was able to turn around, rip a shot, low left corner of the net. Just incredible, incredible, incredible finish. So off the bat, that's what I would say is my biggest positive takeaway from this. Obviously great for Crisostomo to get a goal as well. That's not really, like, I'm never going to be saying that someone getting on the score sheet isn't a positive. James is gone from my screen, by the way. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm like taking up the full screen now for whatever reason. But particularly seeing our striker get on the score sheet is nice. It's nice. It's good to have him knock one in early this season. Hopefully that can open the floodgates for him. We can see just, you know, record breaking numbers. I don't know. Broader positives is that our attacking just looked more complete. Looked like the midfield and the attack and the forwards had some chemistry going. There was some connection there that maybe there wasn't in the initial games. The possession we had led to chances in a way that wasn't really present against Tulsa. You know what I mean? Like, there was a good amount of chances that should have been goals, like nice looking opportunities. So I think that's coming together quickly, which I like to see. So I'm curious, James, about what your thoughts were on this formation, whatever it is. But whatever it was, or, you know, was at multiple points throughout the night, was good. I mean, it was working. Maybe a little bit better finishing as from the team as a whole would have led to more goals. But if we're talking about just like chance creations, that was there. I mean, it was there all night. Granted, Miami FC is one of, if not the worst teams in the league. The goals should come. Two goals probably isn't as much. It's not as much as I would have liked to see against a team like this. But I'll give us some leeway again, considering how these first two games of the season went. Last week, I told you, James, that if we went out there and got a 3-0, 4-0 win, I'd be okay throwing away the first few games of the season and saying we're starting from here. A 2-1 win, I'm not sure we're ready to throw away those first two games of the year. Sure. I think we'll see some of the things that need to be worked on in this one. But you see where the positives are as well. You see where we're going. You see what this will become. And I say will very intentionally, like, because it will. I'm very confident in that. I don't think this is like a, like, will we be able to reach our potential type of situation? I mean, it looks good. Like, the product looks like it's coming together quickly. And it looked, again, with the caveat that we're playing the worst team in the league, right? Arguably. The product looked like it was coming together in a way that wasn't present against Tulsa necessarily. Chance creations were there. The, you know, breaking the lines was there. My only concern going forward is that whatever formation this was, not my only concern, but one of my main concerns is that whatever formation we're working with, it seems like we're still kind of experimenting with things. Which is, you know, fair, I guess. I just don't want to be the 5 games into the season, which is rapidly approaching now. We're 3 games into the year. I don't want to be 5-6 games into the season and still feel like we haven't really found our identity yet, if that makes any sense. And again, takeaway from this game is that we don't even know how to describe the formation we just ran. Is that our identity, that we're kind of like flexible and can move things around? Maybe. I just don't really know if that's like where you want to be. If that's like an identity that'll lead you to a championship. Maybe. I mean, I'm not sure. They pay Robbie Nielsen the money to figure that one out. But it's something to consider. I'm really curious to see in 2 weeks how we line up against Charleston formationally, not just players, but like the structure of what that looks like. I'll be keeping an eye on that for sure. James, any other positives you want to mention, or do you want to give me your negatives right now?
Well, I do want to focus on the back line a little bit and say that I think that we also generally limited Miami's abilities to get good chances. And I say that despite the first goal, because when we get to talking about the first goal, that's when we're going to talk about one of the larger negatives, Carlos. And I think that you obviously, well, you can see our notes, so you're well aware of what we're doing. But the point is, I think that Nick Moon looked good when he was at the back. Is he going to continue to play there? We shall see. Obviously, Pacific Nyong-Abeere will be coming back. And Pacific Nyong-Abeere was originally name-checked by Robbie Nielsen as one of the options that the Rowdies have to use with depth if they need to add up top. So I think that that's something to keep in mind, because maybe there is going to be some more positional flexibility from all of these players, I guess. Lawrence Wyke, of course, we know that he can play a million different positions. So yeah, that's something to keep in mind. Forrest Lasso is not fully back from injury. He is coming back from injury, but he has been on the bench for all of these games. So that's interesting. Joey Skinner is another player that we haven't seen at all yet. And I think that Joey Skinner brings a lot of quality. So these are players that we're not really, those are at least two players that we're not really considering so far. And of course, Aaron Guillen was on the bench this game. So, or started on the bench. And what does that mean for him going forward? I really like that Castellanos and Wyke did as good as they did. And I think that their roles were very positive. The only other thing that I wanted to say in relation to the back line was, I think Blake Bodley got really, really hard done by our referee this past game. I know that there are some games where things happen where the referee becomes a much larger talking point than in this game, because it ultimately didn't turn into anything. And that's fantastic, but I really think that the referee had a bad performance in this one. And Blake Bodley was on the receiving end of two of those very bad calls, one of them being the penalty, in my opinion. But Carlos, you and I were both watching it and almost simultaneously texted "ball don't lie" when that ball went wide. So I will just chalk it up to that. We won't focus on any more on that call, on the penalty, whatever. It's in the past. It's forgiven. So far.
Well, it's not, I wouldn't say it's forgiven. Because we'd be talking about that a lot more if that went in. Like a lot. And penalties, like it's like a 50-50 almost at the end of the day. You know what I mean? It's like the call was still bad. And I think I will just say that before I forgive it, because it was like, I just didn't make any sense. It was incredible. I don't know. I'm waiting for the day VAR is added to this glorious league that we know as the USL championship. But until then, we have to deal with stuff like that for once in a while.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe not forgiven, but at least for the time being, it can be forgotten because it didn't turn into anything. So
yeah. All right.
Defensively, we did well. I think that Lewis Hilton and I guess his deepest partner at times was Danny Crisostomo, because Cammy McPherson was so high most of the time. And in the second half, we reverted more to our regular 3-4-3 with the substitutions we made. So yeah, good stuff there. All positive. Now, the one unit in this defensive unit of the Tampa Bay Rowdies that is giving me a little bit of concern, and I think that that's probably something across the Rowdies fan base, Carlos. This is something that we hate to have to bring up, but what would we be doing in terms of our job, quote unquote, here at RBLR Rowdies Hype, other than
it's not a full-time job.
Other than to focus on something that this is a legitimate talking point. Do we need to worry about Nico Campisi in net? The first two games, he has given up two bad goals. The first one, I think, was a miscommunication. That's something that happens. And okay, that happens once, literally a season. I think you were right when you said that, Carlos. The second one, that was a little bit different. And then, obviously, this third game, I think, was a big error in judgment. So that's where I got to turn to now. Again, as much as I hate to say it, do we need to worry about this? Is this something that could be a problem?
Good question. I feel like last week I said kind of what I would say this week. Right, what I think I would have said, which is like these mistakes are kind of few and far between. And once you get them out of the way early, they don't really happen throughout the rest of the year. But then I said that the episode before that too. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like stacked up in a really rare and unfortunate manner that the three goals that have occurred this year have almost been like universally across the Rowdies fan base attributed to Nico Campisi's poor judgment in some cases, or miscommunication in the first game. I think in this game, it wasn't great. I would say this one was like less so than the first two. I don't know. I mean, it's just that ball was so stupid and lucky, and it just went right over Lawrence Wyke's head, who came out a little bit too quick on that clearance. And I think should have sat back a bit more on that one, but again, it was just such a stupid, stupid pass that he wasn't expecting it. KPC comes out, I think almost justifiably based on where the ball was heading. I think he just kind of starts to stutter for like a third of a second on his way there and is a little slow to get to the ball. Do it on that one and just send it. You know, great finish. But at the end of the day, you can still attribute it to, at least, if not entirely, mostly partially, being on his poor judgment on this one.
Yeah. And judgment can also be a little more than the decision. It can also be literally the judgment of the flight of the ball and the bounce that does change on the turf, but at the same time, you got to be a little bit more ready for something like that.
Yeah. I mean, like, truly, if you look back at it, and again, I'm looking back on it on another tab right now, just to relive the pain. But it's like when he starts coming out, it's like, it seems like the ball's going to kind of die. I mean, he's going to have one-on-one opportunity to kind of try and save. And then it's just, it's a lovely chip, to be fair. It's a lovely chip, but it's like he stutters for like a fourth of a second. It's like the indecision maybe kills the opportunity to get to that ball, which again, a stupid bounce. At the moment of the pass, it doesn't seem like a bad decision. So, but by the time it lands, you can tell like it wasn't the right choice. So it's very complicated. Like, obviously I'm not a goalkeeper, so I wouldn't say like I know the best times to come out and save whatever, come out for one-on-one. But this one's not like the first two. It's still a mistake, still very much a mistake. And I think it can be a cause for concern for people, maybe should be, that we've had just three mistakes like this in the first three games. But the guy, like, I don't know. Like, Kempisi is a proven keeper in the Argentinian league. I mean, was a backup keeper for several of his teams throughout his career early on. But also, like, had his moments as a starter throughout his, you know, career as a 25-year-old now. So he's had several stops, different teams. Has figured it out. Like, I'm not quite sure what it is in this case, because I don't think this is indicative of his talent. So I don't know. I'd be entirely speculating if I told you what I thought the issue was. I think there's a lot to be said about how challenging it is to come to like a new country entirely after playing or new continent, after playing your entire professional career in South America, speaking only in Spanish with folks.
Sure.
This is like, I have some sympathy. And I think that transition takes more time than people assume. But he's also a professional goalkeeper. And at the end of the day, like, ball is ball. You know what I mean? So some of these saves just have to be made because you're a professional goalkeeper and you're a baller. And he is. I truly think he's a very, very good keeper. I'm just not sure what's going wrong here. I do have some sympathy for how tough that transition is, though. I'm hoping it kind of settles in. He settles in and it becomes a thing of the past. But I'd be curious to see what Robbie Nielsen does in 2 weeks. I don't think he's the type of guy that would drop him as a starter and give Bondry the start. Because I think that would just shatter your at the beginning of the season, your clear number one's confidence and really kind of ruin his time as a starter for the rest of the year. I think if you're Robbie Nielsen, you kind of have to ride this one out, because he's the proven keeper of your two. And you know the talent's there. So I think in a certain sense, you have to kind of ride it out, because if you don't, if you kind of break that confidence in him, the limited confidence that there probably is after three mistakes like that, I don't really know how you recover as a keeper if you lose that starting spot after three games, after being the clear number one starter, if that makes sense. I think Robin Nielsen's going to ride it out with him, and I think it'll work itself out. But I understand the concern, James. This is my long-winded monologue way of saying I think / I hope it'll work itself out. But I'm not quite sure the solution would just be to drop him as a starter in 2 weeks, because he's clearly like the talented, the number one keeper on our team. So I don't think you want to just throw that away this early in the year. Do you agree? Am I wrong?
No. You know, it's a very difficult one for a coaching unit to try to figure out if there is, I guess, a certain point where the mistakes become so bad that they need to go ahead and risk whatever possible changes can be made to a person's psyche along the way. And their confidence, obviously, just like you said, is going to be impacted by a substitution in goalkeeper specifically. Everybody knows that there's a hierarchy in goalkeepers. If you are the number one, getting replaced for that, it means a lot.
Yeah.
It's if you follow the U.S. men's national team, there's been a lot of argumentation about that same role. So it means a lot to be replaced as the number one goalkeeper. And the other thing is, especially right now, if we're going to consider the possibility of dropping him, none of us knows exactly how ready Ethan Bondre is to step in at a USL championship level. He played at the MLS Next Pro level. So, of course, there is some acumen there. He's not nobody. They didn't grab him off the street or something. But yeah. I don't have as much confidence that he would be able to do X, Y, or Z that I think that Nico Campisi could do, even despite what we've seen so far. So no, I definitely don't expect any type of change for goalkeeper right now. What I'm saying is, potentially down the line, is this something where the Rowdies might need to look? They've got the summer coming up, and there will be some number of players available in the summer. We don't know exactly how many and from where and all of the other qualifications that come along with searching for new players. But possibly it would be something for the coaching staff to consider. And I don't know if that's something that they are looking at or not. But we definitely do need to keep an eye on this for sure. I mean, you and I obviously will, and I think most of the fans will, because it is one of the biggest things that's out there. It's not something that you just have to read and look at little stats and be like, oh, okay, actually, I do see that there's a problem. No, of course, this is relatively in your face, and that's why it stands out so much. But yeah, it's just something that we needed to hit on, because it is naturally a very big part of these two games.
Yeah.
Carlos, is there anything else that you want to hit on before we get to the man of the match here?
I will say, Campisi, and again, I don't know what it is about like Argentinian soccer players and what's in the water, but an incredible time waster.
Yes.
When it came to the end of the game, you can hate it. You can hate it, and you hate it when it's the other team.
Mm-hmm.
When it's your team, I mean, like, it's kind of a skill, like how much time he personally single-handedly was able to waste at the end of the game when – you know, there was no reason to keep pushing for a ton more goals, or Miami FC out there, red card. Like, just settle in, take what you have and get 3 points and get out of there. I think there's a little bit of you know, a value in that, and his, you know, antics ahead of the penalty. There's frankly not a lot of like goalkeepers in the USL that kind of partake in that level of, you know, what's the word for it? Poophousery, right? Like there's a certain level of getting in the opponent's head and the psyche that comes with that. That I think frankly there's a lot of influence from Dibu Martinez in like the entire soccer world in Argentina.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think you see some of that in Campisi. Yeah, I mean, just the last thing on him, because I saw the highlights again before we started recording, and I saw like his kind of, you know, antics wasting time and at the end of the game and the penalty, and I've never seen that before in a Rowdy's uniform, which is just – so it was caught my eye against Miami for sure, since we were actually like winning the game and not playing from behind 1-0 in this one. I'm sure you can expect to see a lot more of that. He's still in that. So love it or hate it, it helps. It gets the job done. Happy about that. Again, I will say my one other thing was I just want to reiterate how impressive the back end of that first half was offensively. A ton of offensive creation. Nick Moon looked like a beast, just dribbling through a bunch of defenders in a way that
run, I thought he was going to score.
It should have been a goal. It was an incredible, incredible run. That's what I thought Nick Moon was going to be when we signed him. And unfortunately, he has injury problems and whatever. And Young Beery was kind of the guy at that right wing back spot. Nick Moon looks like he's legit and he's back and he's fully healthy. I'm expecting to see a Nick Moon that I had always expected going forward this season. I'm really excited to see what he can do. But again, just as a whole, the chance creation was incredible on that back end of that first half. Maybe incredible is a bit strong, but because it's Miami, but it looked really good and I was happy. Should have been at least one more goal that got put away based on what we created. 2-1 result, I don't think is fair for how we played and how Miami played. Should have been 3-1 at least. And that's a game, James. That's a game. We spent a lot of time talking about this one. I'm glad, because I think there was a lot to talk about, you know, just broadly throughout the season. I think we kind of touched on a bit of our early season woes. So I'm happy overall, James. Man of the match, James, dive into it.
Yeah, let's jump in.
My man of the match was, again, I'm going to give it to him again, Danny Crisostomo. I know he's racking him up right now.
He definitely is.
he had another great game in the midfield, helped create those chances, tracked back, and eventually got his own goal, which is lovely. So a great pass from Lewis Hilton, found him. Good finish from him. Didn't know he had that in his bag at all. But apparently he's a goal scorer too. So that's really, really great. Good for him. Chrysostomo is my guy.
Yeah, I understand that pick. I think that Danny Chrysostomo has done a very good – I think that he's had a very good start to the season. If he can continue to ride that, then that's fantastic. Although, for me, I had to go with someone else, and that was Nick Moon. Nick Moon not only gets the assist on the first goal, I believe that he was part of the USL Team of the Week this week, and I thought, we just mentioned this, I thought that he was going to score himself. He went on a couple of little mazy runs. One of them obviously led to the first goal, but the second one that was late on in the second half or the first half, I thought that he was going to, I definitely thought that he was going to put that away. I also don't know how he got as far as he did through the Miami midfield and defense. I guess they're probably not, well, let's refrain from just destroying them all night. But I really like what I saw from Nick Moon in this one. If he can keep it up, then he's going to make that position his own, and it doesn't matter what other people do. And we're going to have to find other ways to work the team around him, I guess. I like that. That's good. That is a good problem for a coach to have. And Carlos, I think with that, we can say liking and subscribing is free, but if you need some new threads coming up this year, you can support this podcast just a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com. Checking out all the designs that we've got cooked up there. There is a link in the description, and you can use the promo code COYR for 10% off. COYR as in, come on, you rowdies. So yep. Please do check that out, and we will see you, hopefully, in some RBLR gear this season. Carlos, early season recap. We have lost two games, and we have won one. They were probably disappointing wins, but probably roughly something that you could say was not undeserved. I think that a tie might have been better, especially with Las Vegas. They really snuck out that goal. So whatever with that one. But Tulsa, maybe I think Tulsa's was a little bit more fair of a result. This one, I think that we deserved the win. And I think that it was probably, just like you said, one that we actually could have won by a little bit more. There's a bit of both in all three of these games, in all honesty. You could see the other team doing better. You could see us doing worse, all sorts of different stuff. And we've also had a penalty given against us that was missed. So keep that in mind. But three games in, there's a lot to work out. That's probably true for almost every team in the league. I think, though, that it's more true for us than it is for a lot of other teams in the USL. How are you feeling about that?
I'll give you my quick, just, you know, again, since we don't have a game to preview this week, I'm going to give you like a quick 1 minute spiel about where we are, in my opinion, this season, before we can, you know, go ahead and start to wrap up, because I understand the concern. And again, I think a lot of it is maybe justifiably pointed towards the goalkeeping situation. Because otherwise I think the back line looks great. Castellanos looks fantastic as a starter. I don't even know. I know Forrest Lasseter coming back in is huge, but Castellanos looks good. Wyke has a great role on that back line because he's a little smaller, much quicker than the rest of the back line. I think that's really, really great to have back there. But I almost don't even want to take Castellanos out at this point. Even if you give me a fully healthy Forrest Lasso, I'm so curious to see how that plays out. I think Nielsen has a great problem to figure out back there. Mm-hmm. The wing back / fullback situation looks great. Nick Moon looks fantastic. Young Abiria looks like he's still kind of figuring it out, but I think he can figure it out this season. That's a great problem to have at the right back spot / right wing back spot, depending on what we're running. At that left wing back / left back spot, Bodley looks like he's still Bodley. It'll turn on for him for sure. You work your way up towards the midfield. You know, Hilton looks like Hilton. Chrysostomo looks great. Cammy McPherson, I think, can settle in here to the system and start producing some goals, you know, some good defensive acts. I do think he could become something valuable on this team because he's shown some good glimpses of it. He could have had two goals this past weekend. He really could have. finishing is clearly not his forte. He's not a striker. I think with a bit more time, a bit more ability to gel with his boys here, I think a couple of those go in. And we'll see what he can do. And you work your way up towards the top, you know, Manu Arteaga and Woobs. Arteaga, we know what he can do. We know what he can do. I think it's really a matter of time to let the goals open up for him. We saw him get streaky last year as well. We saw him score a lot of goals and then take a little bit of a break. Score a lot of goals and there's a bit of a dry spell. I think we can, like, we know what he is. We can expect maybe some more of that. I think Woobs has been the wild card this offseason. We were yet to see, obviously, what he can do. He scored the goals, clearly, this past week, and we saw that. I think the wild card comes in how many of those goals will we see. I think we can see a lot of them. I truly think that Kyle Jennings' number can be replicated and replaced. So I feel good, quite literally, from the back line all the way up to the top. It's a matter of continuing to build that chemistry with the new guys, and I think that'll happen rather quickly based on what we saw against Miami. My only question mark is still in the back line, or not the back line, but, you know, in the goalkeeping situation. I think that's fair. I think everyone's main question is that. But again, I do think that fixes itself. So first three games, the chances are, like, you look at the progression. We've created more and more chances. We've gone on this early spell of the season, particularly against Miami. I feel good. I think it's only going to get better. So I don't think there's cause for massive panic slash concern. Yeah, keep planning your away trips. The team's going to be good for those away games, and I'm still planning on going to all these games. I'll save one promo for extra time here, but I feel good still, James.
Yeah, I only, by the way, I did want to confirm that Nick Moon had made the USL Team of the Week. Just wanted to say that.
Sure.
I'm not only concerned about this or that item, but I will say that certain things could prove to be problematic if they continue. For me right now, the biggest issue is the lack of clear-cut chances. We definitely saw that in the first two games, obviously. I think that it was an improvement in this game. At the same time, there were moments that we could have scored and we didn't. And then there were times when I thought that we were about to create something and we ultimately did not do that either. So great that we got the two goals. And I think Danny Crisostomo doing his very weird, I don't know, like a cat falling almost to get his body in the position to kick that actually on target while he was midair. Very, very fun from him. But yeah, I think that one was probably a lower chance, ultimately, opportunity. Other than that, though, there were a lot of chances that could have been built up a little bit more. So my concern that I see really outweighing anything else is connecting the front to back and turning that into actual good opportunities and good XG chances. That's what we want. That's what we want is the good XG chances. We talked endlessly last year about how the Rowdies were underperforming their XG by a lot. I think the team with the worst XG to conversion rates in the whole league for a while. So we were creating a lot of good chances, and ultimately we weren't able to put enough of those away, of course, to get us in the positions that we needed to be, winning games, getting into higher playoff spots, ultimately hosting playoff games, what have you. So I don't want to see that repeated this year, although at the moment, right now, what we need to do again is recreate that XG anyway. So let's get to that position first. That's what I'm looking to see. I think that's going to come with a lot more repetitions between a lot of players here who might not all know each other. But at the same time, of course, they did have a preseason. A lot of them were in for most of the preseason. So I'm thinking that with these actual games that they're getting real competitive minutes, that's going to give them the understanding that's necessary. And cross my fingers.
Agreed. Yeah, you know me. I'm the eternal optimist. So take everything I say with a grain of salt, because I'll probably have a brighter outlook than the average fan. But I think it comes with reason. You know, like I'm not just kind of waffling either. Like, there's a lot to be excited about. So I think you still have the right to be excited about it, even if the first three games weren't as thrilling or enthralling as you might have hoped. I think we start settling. And we'll get to the Charleston preview next week, you know, before it happens, actually, because it's not this weekend. It's April 5th, the following weekend, obviously. So I'll preview that next week. But I think that game will, obviously, it's one of the top teams in the league. You're playing against your former rowdy, Cal Jennings. I think that game will tell us a lot about this squad, about where we are, about how we step up to the plate against a really tough team. I'm not saying we're going to go in there and win like 3-0 or anything, obviously, but I think that game will be able to tell us where we're at and, more importantly, how confident we are in ourselves as a squad to go out there and be able to put up a good result. So I'm looking forward to that one a lot. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. With that, we will move into our extra time segment. Carlos, I will let you take it here because as much as I am leading RBLR Rowdy's hype, yeah, it's both of us who need to get everybody involved.
Yeah.
And yeah, you are the one who took the lead on this one.
No, yeah, I'm just mentioning this here as well because I saw something in the Ralph's Mob Discord, which if you're not in and you're a big Rowdy's fan, definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. You can find them on Twitter at Ralph's Mob. Find the Discord information there. Plenty of Rowdy's talk going on in there.
All the time, folks.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want your, you know, in-week Rowdy's content when James and I aren't waffling to you for an hour, it's a spot to be. And again, like there's talk about planning these away games. And I'll mention out like explicitly the Naples game on 4th of July. You don't have anything going on the 4th of July. You probably have off. It's a Friday night. The Ralph's Mob's trying to continue to organize their bus down there to Naples. So definitely, definitely, definitely check it out. There's a registration form down there. You can check it out and fill it out just to, you know, get some numbers going. Get enough numbers, there's a bus going down there. This is the short of it. So register, get down there, make it a big, big trip to Naples. If you don't, you know, fit on the bus, you don't get that spot on the bus. Obviously, there's limited spots. Drive down there. It's not a long drive. If you have a car, make your way down there with the family. Make it a 4th of July weekend. And I truly want to see, like, hundreds of Rowdy's fans down there. There's no reason for us not to be down there. Let's take it seriously. You know what I mean? It's the Jägermeister Cup, whatever that means. It's a competitive game against a new team down there. Definitely want to show up and, you know, establish ourselves as the most established team in this western part of Florida. So get down there, get to Naples, and sign up for that bus if you haven't already in the Ralph's Mob Discord.
And by the way, Naples has a very good fan base at this point already. They are selling out a Naples stadium that's not within the city of Naples, and they are going on traveling games. They went to the Open Cup game versus Sarasota Paradise, which was actually played in Lakewood Ranch. Figure that one out, folks. But yes, this is a team that has good support. They're going to talk some smack if you don't show up there. So if that's the motivation you need, if that's the hype that you need, get it. Get there. If you can get to this game on, again, a Friday, July 4th, you're almost certainly off work. Please do get there and support the Tampa Bay Rowdies in the Jägermeister Cup. Make it an event for us and for the team and for yourself. All right. With that, we have only one thing left to do. Talk about a real quick hit on the international game. Ecuador is the only one that's going well. The U.S. is not. They had probably their worst international window in years. Scotland also just got smacked. So Ecuador, Carlos, tell us about Ecuador.
I'll just mention that Ecuador, before the match that just started 2 minutes ago and is active on another screen right now, was at 22 points. Obviously, this is subject to change because there's four games going on right now. Second place in the World Cup qualifiers in South America. Ahead of Brazil, ahead of Colombia, ahead of Uruguay. Ecuador is legit, man. Stop playing. It's not just like, you know, I truly think this is one of the, I think this is clearly a top four team in South America. You can have your debate about whether Colombia or Uruguay fall out of the top four. But I think Ecuador is above at least one of them, and they look really, really good. So we'll see how they play right now against Chile.
There we go. All right. Well, we are all happy for Ecuador. They're so great. And everyone else, we don't actually need to talk about anyway.
No, we don't. Ecuador is the only thing that matters in the world.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you, listeners. And thank you, Ecuadorians, for tuning in. We appreciate when you do. Please follow us at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere. I'm sure you didn't know that this was actually RBLR Rowdy's Ecuador, but in fact, sometimes it is. So
yeah,
you gotta talk about have everyone on board.
When it's international window, you gotta mention. You gotta mention what's going on in the world right now. You know what I'm saying? So
that's right.
Get the win today. Get to the World Cup, and we'll see Ecuador win the World Cup in 2026.
As long as they don't have to take on Chicago Fire, then I think they might be able to win.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I am mostly on Twitter if you would like to get at me and hopefully reminisce about the time that somebody asked Bastian Schweinsteiger if Chicago Fire were going to win the World Cup. I am at RBLR James K. Carlos, where are you?
At Carlos TPA10 on Twitter. Tap in.
There we go. Like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts. We will see you on all of those places coming up here. Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.